Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and I have the pleasure of introducing you today to Ethan Janney. Ethan is a transformational coach and co-host of the Run With It Business podcast, which gives you business ideas from top CEO guests who share the actual action steps you can take to get started. Ethan's also a coach, and his methods are drawn from polymathic and non-traditional ranges of experiences. And as a neuroscientist who has studied birdsong to being a piano-tuning entrepreneur and being profiled in the Wall Street Journal, Ethan has just an amazing, circuitous journey of different interests and work that he's done that have really impacted so many people. So, Ethan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here. It's great to have a chat with you, Deb.
You know, it's interesting in my journey, I've also reached out to find people that I find extremely interesting in the work and in from many different walks of life. So Ethan and I only recently became acquainted, and I think it's important why I felt that he would be so inspirational to bring to you today. So he has a diverse background. He studied music. He's a musician. He has a PhD in neuroscience. He has an apprentice program for piano technicians, a master class, a software company, a coaching business, and the Run With It podcast. So there was just something so interesting about this diversity in what he does that I had to talk to him. We hit it off from the beginning, and I really feel that he's just got some amazing story to share with you that it's inspiring. So you want to just jump right into this?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you for that glowing introduction.
I've obviously shared a little bit of your business journey. It's quite varied, but I really think if you could just share with us this journey that you have been on, and how do all of these different pursuits and interests connect together to the work that you do now? So please share with us that.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned a bunch of the things that I've done. And so I probably won't go into a ton of detail about how one thing leads to the other, But the one thing that I think is really appropriate to your question is, what do all of these things bring to my coaching? I could even talk about what they bring to the podcast a little bit. But there's a term called adaptationist, which people have used. I heard it most recently through Eben Pagan, who's a pretty well-known internet marketing expert who's kind of like really done well with it for many years. So an adaptationist is somebody who can take on multiple domains, right? And has been in different domains. And then when something new comes up, they're able to adapt quickly and, you know, and get into a new field when the time is right. It's pretty clear that adaptationists will be more necessary, or we all need to become more like adaptationists as the future is coming at us, you know, at light speed, right? I mean, right now we're dealing with the coronavirus, and all of a sudden everybody has to go, oh my gosh, I'm in my house for God knows how long and I'm not going to leave. What do I do now? How do I make money? How do I make sure that the economy is going well? How do I protect my family? Can I help in any way? And so it's just great to be able to have a mindset that can change as the future comes. So the way that I can help people in my coaching is by drawing on the experience of what it's like to kind of start a journey from nowhere and transform yourself. So it's like I transformed into a musician, and then from musician, I transformed into neuroscientist, right? So that was a big change for me.
Yep.
And I didn't even think that it was possible when I got started on that journey. And, you know, I've become an entrepreneur then, and that's been another journey. And so what's cool about being in multiple domains that most people don't notice is there's just a general pattern that you see within any given domain. And if you're aware of that pattern, then it makes it easier to navigate the entry into that domain. So I can help people who are, they've got a corporate job. They have no idea what it's like to start a business, but they really want to do it. Get in the mindset of how can I make that transformation? Things like that I can be really helpful with.
You know, I'd love to go there, and there is so much in there. I really love the adaptation. Is that a mindset or a process? How would you describe that?
The term, as I've known it, is it literally describes a type of person.
Okay.
It's almost like the same as the word polymath, like someone who's in multiple domains. But I think that the word adaptationist almost implies the kind of sequential possibility that new possibilities are coming at you, mm-hmm. and you have the ability to adapt and grow into new things as they come.
So I'd like to go there a little bit because this is a really interesting concept. So you have been able to adapt in multiple ventures throughout your life, but you said there's a common pattern to each of them. So if you had mm-hmm. to think as you move from one platform or program or position to the next one, you talk about the similar patterns. What is it that when you went from being a musician to a neuroscientist to software to entrepreneur, what are some of those characteristics that somebody should recognize or maybe even need as they adapt to different phases of their life?
The first steps of transformation are usually talking about it. And I haven't, that's a great question. I haven't actually outlined it in any specific way, but I think I can talk about it freely. So the first steps are talking about it out loud to other people, because a lot of times people have an idea in the head, they keep it in their head, and they're wondering why it's not going anywhere. You got to put it out there. You got to share people that that's where you're going, what you're doing. And you got to be willing to hear other people say, that makes no sense to me. You know, I don't want to be a part of that. People actually react quite, they don't want you to change because they like the way you are, because, you know, it's easier to manage something that doesn't change than something that does. So once you start putting that word out there, that's one of the first stages. And then beyond that, then you have to start maybe actually changing your environment in a way, right? You have to start hanging out with new people. If you're used to hanging out with your fellow employees in the corporate world, now you got to start going to entrepreneurial meetups. You got to find a mentor who is an entrepreneur. Another thing is to find, even beyond just like meeting those people, building communities, finding a support community, I think is also very important to moving into a new domain. Another crazy step of this is realizing that if you're uncomfortable, you're doing the right thing. And that's like the, that's the scariest part. If you're doing something that the people around you, say you started hanging out with entrepreneurs and they're all doing this thing, and then you're like, why? It makes no sense. Then you start doing it and go, this feels so weird. Then you're on the right track.
So is a tremendous analysis. I have never heard it described quite this way. Mm-hmm. And I listen and consume an amazing amount of podcasts, but I really want for people that are thinking about, you know, I got to do something different. I'm not happy where I'm at, you know, adopt the adaptationist mentality. And I will say, start talking about it. People are going to say you're crazy. Mm-hmm. Find people that think that you're not so crazy. Mm-hmm. And you find the people that will support you, because I've actually talked to a few people that the people that support you as you are now, to your point, don't want to see you change. Mm-hmm. And when you move to a place that's different, not only are you going through the change, and to your point, it feels a little uncomfortable, which means it's probably good. Mm-hmm. We got to remember the people that have been with us in the past and have be empathetic to the fact that they may or may not be part of your future.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, yeah. And also you can be empathetic to them as well. I mean, you are throwing off their reality a little bit, you know, so.
Yeah, so there is so much in that. Yeah, I know. So just be careful. It's good to change, adapt, and be ready, because you yourself have to be the best person that you can be, and you need to feel fulfilled in order for the people around you to be so. So that's a fantastic story.
One thing to get used to, I think, just a last piece of advice on the change, is that we don't want to change because that feels safe. We like what we know. But it's actually not true that we're safest if things aren't changing. We're actually safest if we are pursuing change, if that makes sense. So not everybody's going to take that on. But if you can recognize that, it'll help you feel more comfortable with yourself pursuing change and bringing that into other people's lives, I think.
So I just want to pause there, and just for people listening to this, if you're not going through change, or if you are going through change, it's probably safe. The times that we're having right now, we're recording it. There's a lot of crazy things going on with this virus. The world is changing around us. So what we do and how we react to this change is probably safer than doing nothing. So great point here. So you have a lot of insight, and obviously you've done a lot in your career, but you're now taking this into the coaching direction. So tell us a little bit more about your approach to discovering and coaching some of your clients. It's actually a very interesting approach and quite simple.
I focus on four things with my coaching clients. We meet weekly. I have them usually fill out a little form that asks them to highlight four things, which are their highs for the previous week, their lows, the wins, and the lessons learned. And it's a very simple set of things. But what I want to convey to the person listening right now is that if you can just take those things and apply them to situations, change situations, especially where you might feel uncertain or not sure whether you're in the right direction, it's going to really facilitate the best outcomes for you. And I'll explain each thing and why it's so important. So talking about the highs, I always challenge myself to think about something good, right? Okay, let's do this. Coronavirus is happening right now. What is good about this? I have some friends actually that are posting some very enlightening things about that, right? One particular thing is, you know, we've got global warming that most of us agree that we're facing this huge issue that everybody could be doing more towards participating in, and how this issue, it's a terrible issue, but it's probably on a small, actually smaller scale, even though it seems quite big, a smaller scale than what the ultimate issues that global warming would be bringing to the table are on. And so it could potentially be giving us some practice for how we can collaborate and coordinate on a global scale to deal with global issues. So if I was going through like what's a high of my previous week and I've been dealing with the coronavirus issue and I'm feeling kind of crappy, I can think, well, you know, I felt really good when I thought about that.
You know, I also studied a little bit about positive psychology. If you really want to get more out of a person, don't focus so much on the negatives in your life. It's really, really important to start a conversation, start your day, and think about what's working, what is right. So it totally resonates with me when you are working with somebody. Let's just get the good stuff out of the way and start from a place of what are your highs. So I love where you're going with this.
Cool. Sometimes people don't. So there's a couple things that happen with the psychology of people. Sometimes people, despite their best efforts, cannot come up with the high points or the positives of the things. And that's a good sign that we found that, so we can tackle that. You should generally be coming up with probably, you know, 3 to 5 times as many good things about whatever's going on than the negatives. It's just going to, this could work better for your psychology and the energy moving forward. So moving on to the negatives, some people don't like to think of the negatives. And there's a problem with that too, because if you can't find places for improvement, then you can't really grow. So finding out where things aren't going well or something's negative can be an important thing. You don't have to dwell on it, but you can say, how could this be improved? And so on and so forth. So for example, if I were to think about what were the lows in my particular case? Okay, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, actually. And I actually was sort of feeling a little bit, I wasn't feeling sick, but I was just feeling like I'm draining my system. Okay. And so, and I've heard this from other people, is one of the best things you can do in a situation like coronavirus is take care of yourself better, take care of your immune system, make sure that you're prepared to fight off things that come your way in terms of health threats. So now that I know that's a low, I can take a look at that and say, okay, well, that's an indicator. What would be a good thing for me to focus on in the following days, following weeks? Why don't I get more sleep? And again, that's a thing where if you don't pick it out, you could continue, I need to work really hard. I need to make sure I prepare for this. I need to panic, whatever. And you could wear yourself out and you wouldn't have noticed that, oh, the easiest thing to do would just be to get more sleep so you can think more clearly.
No, I couldn't agree with you more on that one as well. I mean, obviously, that's the first thing. You start getting drained by too much information and what's happening outside when it's important to start from the inside. Your internal sphere, make sure you're taken care of, your loved ones are taken care of, your pets are taken care of, and just focus where you have at least some control and then come out feeling more positive because at least there was something that you were able to manage and keep where it needs to be performing. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's keep going with those lows and how we can turn them into opportunities and move forward.
For sure. So the next step is wins. And I like to explain why I have people do highs and wins separately. So highs is more of an emotional thing to find out what feeds you emotionally, gives you energy. And wins is more like I accomplished a goal, an objective, something like that. A very interesting example of why they should be separate is sometimes we achieve an objective and we don't actually feel good about it. You're like, oh, well, I worked really hard and I got that job and I don't know, it's just not as great as I thought it was going to be, you know, and this might not actually be the right fit for me. Or I put in all that hard work and now it doesn't feel like it paid off. What does that mean about my journey and how I approach things, you know? So we can take another specific example. In this case, I would say wins that are happening just globally right now is, you know, people are taking action. Things are getting shut down to help prevent what's going on. And there's a lot of awareness. You know, there's so many people that are aware of an issue that, you know, 100 years ago, only a handful of people would really be aware of at this particular moment. Mm-hmm. So that's a win that we have globally right now. Mm-hmm. And it's something to be aware of and appreciate. Now, the reason you focus on wins, you take a moment to observe them, is people don't realize that they have wins often. They focus on the difference between the gap and the gain, the gap between where you are and where you want to be, as if you're looking in front of you. And that's a good place to look and focus, and you can move towards it. But if you don't take opportunities to look back at what the gains you have already achieved are, then you lose energy at moving towards the gap that you're moving towards. So you could say, oh, look, I did this. I did this. Look, I'm capable. I have the wherewithal. And now I can turn around and continue and focus on the future.
You know, there is something really important there. And I know you have even more to offer in how you approach your coaching clients. But a really important point that you just made right now is, you know, we're always pressing on. We're always looking towards the future. And we're always mm-hmm. hard on ourselves. And we'll mm-hmm. see the negative. And we won't necessarily have that emotional high for what we're doing because we're just push, because I don't think we're mindful enough to appreciate who we are, what we've accomplished. And so pausing to look mm-hmm. back and acknowledge that. And if you look back a year, a week, a day, am I a better person? Have I done something that has a positive impact on myself or an individual? You have to give yourself that time to take credit for all that you have done. And to your point, when you look back and you reflect, I mean, there's something about reflection, looking at yourself, looking backward, there are so many beautiful things we as humans accomplish for friends, for family, for our community, for our work. You're absolutely right. We have to use that to fuel us and move us forward.
Yeah. And that's all it is. It's just fuel, right? I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. It just gives you the energy. It's all great to be focused on achievement, and it's okay to want to be something different than you are today, but you need the fuel. A lot of people don't remember to fuel themselves. So the last thing is lessons learned. And this is, I ask all my coaching clients to journal, and I encourage people to journal. And journaling is a place where you can make note of lessons learned. So the fact is, I don't know an actual statistic on this, but I'd say like 95% of the population is just not having self-awareness around how they can improve on a daily basis. They're just doing things. Maybe they're getting down on themselves or upset about things where they fell short, but they're not learning. They're not witnessing what's going on. And so if you take a moment to say, if I had to learn a lesson, what would it be from this situation? Again, you're just bound to grow. What's really nice about these four things, if you keep just doing them every day, every week, every month, every year, then you are bound to improve. It's just a system that helps you improve. So lessons learned in this situation, again, we can use the coronavirus situation as an example. We're learning lessons about, well, here's one thing that I noticed. I don't really see online a place for experts, right, in virology to go and share their knowledge and say, okay, here's some data. Where is somebody who's an expert in data analytics to take a look at this data? And how can we all collaborate in one place over a particular issue, or like a global issue? I'm sure there's places for other things, but not for this particular, not well known, at least for this particular topic. So a lesson that I would bring forward from this is, okay, I've learned, or we can learn, that if we could potentially leverage the power of the internet and actually leverage the fact that everybody's at home and they don't have as much to do, but they could get into a central place and collaborate to solve a problem, then that means maybe we could actually put that together.
You know, I think this, your approach to coaching, and I definitely would advocate if people like what they hear, it's just so simple that, you know, you should definitely check out Ethan for his coaching services. I'm even picking up something off of this that, again, when you leave this podcast today, just think about, he talks about the highs and lows. There's an emotional connection about how you feel about how what you're doing is impacting yourself and impacting others. And then the tactical, where you can tangibly put down, what are the wins? What did I do well? And, you know, what are the negatives or the lessons learned? So you can take tactical action. It addresses what I'm feeling is, you know, ways to improve yourself to get what you want on the emotional level and the tactical level. And I find so often in leadership, providing mentoring to people in a work environment, it's all very tactical. Go to this class, learn about this particular skill, come back, let's talk about it. You never really talk about the emotional. And we kind of downplay the emotional, but unless you deal with the emotion, unless you deal with actionable steps that you can be held accountable for. And to your point, I bet you there's even a component about just taking care of yourself and that mindfulness so that you're present to be able to do the work with you to get to where they need to go. So I just love this approach. So this was fantastic.
I'll give one more point on the lesson learned. You know, people often say there's no such thing as failure, right? Because if you take your failure and you learn something from it, then you haven't failed. I've even heard it say, like, if somebody has a business and they literally lost $100,000 on something, they could say, what did we just spend that $100,000 learning, right? So when you force yourself to ask yourself what lessons you're learning, you automatically turn failures into wins, right? Because now you've learned a lesson from them. The opposite side of that is people don't always actually look for lessons in their wins. If things are going well, then they don't take that sort of what can we turn this failure into approach. So you can also just learn more in general. You say, oh, things are going pretty well. You know, what am I learning about how things go well? And then I can optimize that.
And what do you continue? So, yeah, this is fantastic. So we could talk for a while on this. I'm really into coaching. I do the same for many people myself. But let's take it in another direction. You have a unique approach for your podcast. And the connection, what I see in you as you talked about your journey, is you're always giving help and helping others. So your podcast, absolutely help others. Share a little bit about what it is that you do on your podcast.
For sure. So the podcast is the Run With It podcast. It's a business podcast. And it's kind of like Shark Tank, if you know Shark Tank, but in reversed, as if the sharks were pitching you business ideas that you can take and run with. So what we do is we find top CEOs, entrepreneurs, people in business, a lot of them who have started from scratch. So they really know what it's like to get started from scratch. And we give them the opportunity. A lot of them have, you know, they're swimming with business ideas and people keep them in a list on their phone or something. So they just get a chance to come on and say, I think this would be really cool to have in the world. I think it's doable. I think somebody could make money with it. Listen, I don't have the time for it probably because I'm focused on XYZ company, but here's the idea. And then Chris and I, the co-hosts of the podcast, we talk it through in a thorough way with them. And then one of the big powerful things about the podcast is we ask each other and the guest for actionable steps that somebody could take to get that business started. How could you prove that it's monetizable, right? Like, could you pre-sell it? We talk about things like pre-selling, raising money for something before it even exists, right? And beyond that, you have the action steps that we give you. If you implement those action steps, listeners can reach out to us and they could say, hey, look what I did. What do you think? I've been proactive on this idea. I'm pursuing it or something similar. We actually offer the people that really get somewhere, we'll connect them with the guests that we had on the show. And we've had, you know, we've had David Hauser on the podcast, for example, who sold his business Grasshopper to Citrix for $170 million. And so you just spend a little time, a couple of weeks trying to pursue this business idea, reach out to us, and you could have a chance to have a mentorship session with someone like that. So that's where there's a really incredible leverage for the listener of a podcast like that.
So that is a story in just giving back. And bravo, I've never heard anything like that before. And it's just amazing. And I would love to know if you could share any success stories, again, without maybe divulging, but where somebody listened, somebody reached out, they made a connection, and you're just seeing them go like gangbusters in a new direction. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing one of our first update episodes very soon. And that is going to be, but I'll give you a little bit of a preview. So Shuhan He is a doctor entrepreneur, very fascinating guy, also into a lot of different things. He's run like ultra marathons, you know, for days. And I think he's working at Harvard Medical, some hospital in Boston right now. And he's an entrepreneur. So he started Maze Entrepreneurs, which is, or Maze, I forget what it's called. It's Maze something or other. They make the mazes and the experimental paradigms for scientists so they can do tests, right? So they just build those things. When I say mazes, if listeners are not aware of what that means. So like a mouse might have to run through a maze and they test to see, you know, maybe something affected their brain or their physiology, whatever. So he brought on a business idea. He actually already started out a little bit called Dr. Lingo, which is a doctor has lingo on your condition when you come in and you get checked up on and you don't understand it. They have some boilerplate papers that they pass out so you can do some research on it, but there's no way of translating what the doctor actually would say in their lingo to what you might want to understand. And so his vision is to have almost like a Duolingo or like a Google Translate for Dr. Lingo. So basically he brought the idea and he said, you know, is there anybody out there? If there's anybody out there that is interested in this, you know, contact me. And he's also worked with other people on partnerships. So he's used to this kind of thing. So it actually turned out for him, he encountered a medical student. It was actually him that brought this person to the table. He encountered a medical student at maybe some sort of meeting. They interacted over something non-related, but he found out that this guy was wanting to become an entrepreneur. And he said, hey, listen, I have this idea. He actually said, go listen to this podcast episode, see what you think, see if this is something you could get into, and then come talk to me some more and we'll get started on it. And they've been working on it ever since then. And so they're developing this project, Dr. Lingo, right now, a medical student along with Shuhan.
So I can't wait to hear the follow-up to this story. But I think, again, a common theme when I look at what you do, and I don't think I'm going to spend too much time here, but you know, one of your references on your LinkedIn profile, it's just oozing with different kinds of things like, you know, he was a great citizen helping others in the lab and the instructors. He's one of those few that goes out of their way to ensure that everybody knows the subject inside and out. He takes great care to help students with their needs to understand complex ideas. And he's motivated, dedicated, and he just goes on and on. So, I mean, you've been this way for so long. So again, anybody that has an opportunity to work with you, they're just going to feel just help and promotion coming from you. So great stories, great work.
Thank you. Thank you. That was when I was teaching Bio 101 laboratory back in grad school. Yeah.
But think about the impact. You made an impact on a teacher, an instructor. Think about the lives of the people that you impact by giving back. You may never know what has happened to them, but the day or the instances where somebody from your past comes forward and says, do you know what kind of impact? Those are beautiful moments.
I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
So, you know, one of the last questions I like to ask a lot of these guests, because I bring people on that have really great ideas or insights about leadership or how to improve themselves so that they can get ahead in their career. But, you know, I am looking for your sources of inspiration. Has there ever been a particular person or an event that by being associated with it has impacted or even inspired you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the first thing that's coming to mind about what's inspiring me right now, I'll mention a book, a person, an event, as much as I can weave them all together. So there's a book I'm reading right now. It's called The Last Safe Investment. It's co-authored by a guy named Brian Franklin, and I'm blanking on the other name of the co-author. The co-author is actually the one who initiated the book. But I think it's a great book, and it actually resonates very much with kind of like a story like mine. I'm not investing in the typical ways that people do. This book talks about how you invest in your skills, you know, and you invest in your network. And yes, there's ways to monetize the investments that you've made, investing in your experiences, investing in your happiness, these things like this. And Brian Franklin, I actually met him at a conference on coaching in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. And I just really appreciated this fellow's energy. He's also someone who's in science, in business, in music even, right? It's, this is why I so much resonate with this guy. And in transformation and coaching. Actually, it's kind of uncanny. So I was really inspired. I met him. I met his wife. Him and his wife are also relationship coaches, and they have this beautiful relationship that they share about and help each other, help other people like work out issues in their relationships. So those people, Brian and Jennifer, are inspiring me right now. That book, The Last Safe Investment, is inspiring me right now. And those people are also actually involved in Burning Man, which is something that has inspired me as an event, which if you don't know much about it, I would say people can investigate, but it's one of those things that you don't really know what it is until you get there. Billionaires have been to Burning Man, but also just like average people, artists. It's a very creative place, 7 days minimum in the desert of Nevada, and they build a city out of nothing for those 7 days. It's all just like tents and temporary structures and RVs and things like this. And then there's art exhibits and things all over the place to interact with and enjoy. There's no money exchanged at the event. They have principles, you know, of self-reliance and participation and so on that people take on as they participate. So I find that inspiring, because what it does is it, when you're at a place like that, expands what's possible. You can envision when you have to start something from scratch out of nowhere and see what develops. You really see, you know, that the world is so much more than we think it is on a daily basis. Because we're just in the cities that are already built and that are here and that are working exactly the way that they do. But to have just something come from people all of a sudden, something that could be new every single year, it's very inspiring.
I didn't expect this last little nugget. And sometimes you do brainstorming, you work in problem solving teams. Sometimes the best nugget, the best piece of wisdom comes at the very end when you ask everybody around the room, does anybody else have anything to say before we move forward? Mm-hmm. And just this thing of creating something from nothing, a gathering of people coming for a common experience, and then creating something from nothing, speaks to the essence of the entrepreneur, mm-hmm. or that person up and coming in their business that doesn't feel like they belong, and that they're creating and they're not popular. They've got all these ideas to assess and evaluate. Are they in the right place? Are they happy? Do they experience wins? Are they connecting on emotional level? Or do they need to be in a different place, for which we need to discover that and make those uncomfortable decisions, go to places that were not so safe. And the concept of the Burning Man, to your point, is exactly that. And so this conversation, I think, really, really connects with the people that are maybe feeling a little uncomfortable, that want to do more, that have a lot of ideas, that are verbalizing mm-hmm. those ideas. They don't trust the ideas, but they need to surround themselves around with people that can support them as they try to explore and adapt to different phases of their life, their career, and giving back. And so your stories, when you add them all together, are just amazing. And they are connected by helping people to adapt, to change, and recognize everything they could potentially do.
I'll add one more thing as you're calling out the people who are thinking about doing something. They have their ideas. They want to put them out there. They're not sure if they're going to be good or not. So that, of course, they might have heard it someplace else, but it's useful to hear it again. Putting things out there is the most important thing. It's not whether they're perfect. In fact, they're probably not perfect when you put them out there. But you can almost guarantee perfection if you use the type of process that I'm outlining. You start from what you have. It may not be perfect, but are there good things about it? Are there some things that you can improve? Are there some things that you won by putting it out there, accomplishing it? And what are you learning moving forward? So that's just to outline. It's really about taking the action and not judging negatively what you're putting out there, just continuing to evolve.
So, Ethan, thank you for an absolutely fantastic conversation. We went in so many directions, but I just love how all these topics are connected in taking chances, adapting, lessons learned, wins, all of it put together. Absolutely fantastic conversation. So if folks wanted to connect with you, what would be the best way they could find you?
Well, first, before I say that, it's been a real pleasure being on the podcast with you, Deborah. And you have such great energy. You're so complimentary and positive. It's so wonderful to kind of get that feedback from someone like you. And I can see how that's brought you success in what you've done. And I also see that you're someone who's making these type of transitions yourself. You know, you work in corporate for a while. You worked out a way to make a transition into something else. You know, you're podcasting. You're doing all sorts of new things. And I'm just so excited about those things, hearing about those things as well. And thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Ethan.
For sure. So places to reach me and find out more, definitely recommend check out the podcast. They can go to www.runwithit.fm. And they can listen to episodes of the podcast there. And then if you want to reach out to me, you can reach out at Ethan, a strange spelling, E-A-T-H-A-N, at runwithit.fm. If you don't remember my name, you could just email update@runwithit.fm and you'll be able to get in touch.
All right. Well, fantastic. This has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for your time and wish you continued success in your journey.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.